The following is a meeting with disciples with His Holiness Srila Satsarup Das Goswami on March 2nd, 1992 in Boston.
I have something sizable, a small enough thing for one meeting, which is a short work by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that I can read and we can discuss it a little bit. It's on a very serious topic about death and eternal life, but it's told in a very sweet way by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's called Shoka Shatana and the Dispelling of Grief, and it's based completely on a pastime of Lord Chaitanya's, which is told very briefly in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The pastime is also told more at length in Chaitanya Bhagavat, and he's retold it. This is a time when there was a big ecstatic kirtan being held, as usual, in Srivas Pandit's house in his courtyard. And while the kirtan was going on, suddenly one of Srivas Pandit's sons, who was ill, died right at the moment when the kirtan was going on. So Srivas Pandit heard the ladies crying in the inner part of the house, so he went into them. He gave them some transcendental instructions about death and how to take this news. And then he said, but we mustn't interrupt the Lord's kirtan, and he went back to the kirtan. Then in the morning, Lord Chaitanya and the devotees, sensing that something wasn't right, they had all-night kirtan. And there are very nice pictures of ecstatic kirtan in these songs, and how kirtan surmounts all difficulties. But they felt that their usual ecstasy wasn't present. And so he asked, something has happened in this house. The Srivas said that his son had died. He didn't want to disturb Lord Chaitanya. Then Lord Chaitanya asked that the son be brought out in his dead body. And then some more things happen. So we'll read this, and I can stop from time to time. It's translated by Dasharatha Sutta Das. Song number one. Each song has a number of verses, and they have titles. So this is called Lord Gaurahari's Performance of Congregational Chanting in Srivas Pandit's Courtyard, The Death of Srivas's Son. In the evening twilight, within the privacy of Srivas Pandit's courtyard, the cream-lustered jewel, Lord Gauramani, raised a most auspicious vibration by his chanting of Hari Kirtan, which he personally accompanied by dancing in various playful moods. Along with the playing of the Madrunga drum and the kartals, and amidst victorious shouts of Jai, Jai, the dramatic dance of the Lord dispelled the grief of all those who witnessed it. Then, becoming madly intoxicated in supreme ecstatic love, all the assembled devotees completely forgot themselves and incessantly began to dance and chant wildly, completely surrounding Lord Gaurachandra. At this time, within the inner chamber of Srivas's house, one of his sons suddenly died due to some disease, as ordained by the will of Providence. Due to separation from the boy, all the women of the household began to lament and cry out in a loud voice. Now Bhaktivinoda fears that the transcendental mellows of the Lord's kirtan will be disturbed by the uprising of such loud crying sounds. However, Srivas Pandit has understood the cause of this sound and personally entered the house. Every song, the last verse of it, has a verse like this, where Bhaktivinoda steps right into the action. It's a very nice, artistic, personal touch. He's seeing it all happen before him. But as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says how he feels about the action that's going on. And he leads us on as readers. He draws us in as readers. Very nice. Sweet touch. Song number two. Srivas gives solace to his family members. Entering into the inner chamber, Srivas began to pacify all the women there. Oh, where's Induleka? Oh, yeah. I was hoping she could hear this. Entering into the inner chamber, Srivas began to pacify all the women there by giving them spiritual instructions that were as sweet as nectar. He said, "Look here, you crazy ladies. You all lament uselessly, for what kind of unhappiness can there possibly be in ecstatic love for Krishna? Whoever has Krishna for his eternal son never has to lament for anything. But if one becomes attached to temporary sons, then everything is lost. You have all come into this material world for the purpose of worshipping Krishna. So now you should all become situated again in the eternal absolute truth. As long as you are existing in this body, you should cultivate love and attachment for Lord Krishna, knowing him to be your real wealth, real friend, and your very life and soul. All the attendants of this body, namely brother, friends, husbands, and sons, should be accepted as being only temporary relatives. Whoever wants to hold on to husbands or sons will not be able to keep them, for all these affiliations are impermanent. Even if your son is sitting in your very lap, you still cannot protect him, for when the consequences of his bad fruitive reactions take effect, then his present karma is finished, and he will not be able to remain here any longer. Being involved in the happiness and distress of temporary material relationships, many other living entities are now being degraded into lower species of life, falling far, far away from Krishna's lotus feet. Therefore, you should immediately give up your useless lamentations and just become absorbed in the bliss of the Lord's holy names." All of Bhaktivinoda's desires are now being fulfilled by hearing Srivas speak such nice eternal truths. Of course, they're hard to hear for a person who is very emotionally bereft and is grieving. But throughout the Bhagavatam, sages come and give these instructions, and very often they are effective. People are able to hear in the face of such calamities. But we have to ourselves practice to become philosophically minded in normal situation, so that we can also apply philosophy when it's most needed in life, which is at any time of disturbance. It's when you really need to be a philosopher. That's the test of a philosopher, not just to be able to speak something in the philosophy department of a university, but to apply especially this philosophy to your life. All right, song 3, statement about dedication of the soul surrendered to Krishna. So Srivas is still speaking to the ladies. Dana jana deha geha Krishna sam arpana koryasho shuddha chitti koroho smarana. You have already dedicated all of your wealth, relatives, body, and entire household unto Krishna, so please just remember this now with a pure heart. Why are you exclaiming, my son, in great sadness? Krishna has simply taken his own devotee to suit his own happiness. Krishna is causing all things to take place according to his own sweet will. In light of that, all your ideas of happiness and distress are merely ignorant mental concoctions. Sometimes a devotee in an immature state has a conviction that Krishna does make everything happen, but then doesn't like the way things are turning out, and so wants to blame Krishna. One devotee was writing me about how the recession, economic recession in this country has hit so hard in New York City, where this person was working. It was making life hard, particularly for the devotees. And so she was asking me, why is Krishna making this happen? It doesn't seem fair. But it seemed to me certainly inappropriate to blame Krishna either for the recession or as if Krishna is not mindful that devotees should associate together and that now things were hard, the devotees had to work harder to survive and they couldn't associate as much. We have to understand why the things are happening, and even if we can understand why, we never should think that Krishna is not mindful of our desires to be a devotee. But we have to ponder what to do in the particular situation. So he's making that point also, that Krishna is, he's taking his devotee back to him, and everything is happening by his plan. Whatever Krishna's desire is, you must accept only that to be truly good. Renouncing all your separate personal desires, relieve yourselves of this unnecessary botheration. Krishna gives everything, Krishna takes everything away. Krishna maintains everyone or destroys everyone whenever he likes, according to his own fancy. The Bengali is Deya Krishna, Neya Krishna, Pale Krishna, Sabe, Rake Krishna, Mare Krishna, Icha Kori Javi. If someone maintains a desire that is contrary to Krishna's desire, then such a wish does not become fruitful. Indeed, one only gets trouble and anguish. Therefore, giving up all of your lamentation, just listen to the ecstatic chanting of Krishna's holy name, which is going on now, out in the courtyard. From this you will get the topmost transcendental bliss, and all of your wishes will be fulfilled. So he's really made the situation very clear that Krishna wanted to take the child away, and you're lamenting, you're like going against providence. So how can this bring you any auspiciousness? Bhaktivinoda now begs at Srivas Pandit's lotus feet for the power to completely surrender his soul to Krishna in life after death. Song 4. Srivas forbids the crying, being fearful of disrupting Sri Mahaprabhu's kirtan. Srivas continued, all of you together should now consider the real fate of the boy, and you should immediately give up any bewilderment and grief that may be in your disturbed hearts. The Supreme Lord of all the 14 worlds is the youthful son of Nanda Maharaj, and now he has become the son of Mother Sachi by personally descending in Nadia. This very same Goloka Chanda is now dancing in my courtyard with his most confidential devotees, all completely overwhelmed in ecstatic bliss. My boy has given up his body while hearing the singing of the Lord's holy names coming from this kirtan out in the courtyard. Therefore, he certainly has died while absorbed in love for Lord Hari. Should any of us be so fortunate as to get an auspicious death such as this, then we would certainly be able to easily cross over the ocean of material existence. All of you together, just consider this. What will your lamentation and disturbed hearts do to help the situation? If you all do not become pacified by these instructions, then you will only cheat yourselves out of tasting transcendental ecstatic mellows in the long run. Not only will you cheat yourselves, but you will also induce me to leave this world by plunging myself into the waters of the celestial Ganges. Thus Bhaktivinoda is witnessing all this calamity in progress. So he's an ideal grihastha, Srivas Pandit, preaching to the ladies, which must include his wife and perhaps sisters of the boy and everyone who loved this boy. And so he's taking the responsibility to very carefully. It's not that he went in and just yelled at them and didn't. He, of course, also felt deep feelings for his son, but was transcendental to the situation and gave very nice instructions. Song 5. Manifestation of symptoms of separation by Bhakta Vatsala, Lord Chaitanya, due to the death of his dear devotee. Hearing these words of Srivas Pandit, all those chaste and faithful ladies gave up their lamentation for the dead son. Covering up the body, they again fixed their minds in the transcendental mellows of Lord Hari. Then Srivas came out into the courtyard and, filled with joy, resumed dancing with Lord Chaitanya and loudly sang the glories of the son of Nanda Maharaj, completely forgetting about what had just happened. The boy had expired only 1.5 hours after dark, but out in the courtyard no one knew about it due to the loud kirtan. Then for 9 hours there was continuous chanting of the auspicious holy names. Thus the entire night had elapsed in this ecstatic singing. This is a regular occurrence in Navadvipa, but they would have these extended kirtans. Then the kirtan finally stopped, and Lord Gaurahari said, "Why am I feeling some sadness here? I perceive that something inauspicious has happened in this house today, which has deprived me of bliss. Then the devotees related to the Lord the story of the death of Srivasa's son. Hearing this news, Lord Gaura Rai loudly exclaimed, "Oh no! What has happened? What has happened? Now the core of my heart has been pierced with unbearable pain. Why didn't you inform me of this calamity when it first had happened?" Now Bhaktivinoda has completely lost himself in the affection that the Lord shows to his own devotees. One could say, well, Srivas Pani just told the ladies that they were foolish. Now Lord Chaitanya, he's lamenting. How is he any better? But it's explained that he's Bhakta Vatsala, he's inclined to the devotee. Unlike the ladies, he has full awareness and knowledge of the soul's destination. He's not lamenting for that boy, but he's lamenting in separation that the devotee is not there anymore to be with them in the manifest pastimes. Prabhupada, I heard recently, Prabhupada on the disappearance day of his spiritual master was saying that there's nothing to lament. There's nothing to lament that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has left. He's spiritual. He's gone on to his eternal lila. But we feel a separation from him. So the devotee doesn't have a material lamentation. Song number 6. The affectionate inclination of Sri Gaura Hari towards his own devotees. Then hearing these words of the Lord, Srivas Pandit began rolling on the ground, crying out, "Please hear me, O Lord. I am unable to tolerate anything that interrupts the ecstatic mellows of your kirtan. Only one of my sons has died, O Lord, and has that really upset me? Even if all of my sons died, then I would still get more than enough happiness simply by seeing you. I would certainly die on the spot if I were to interrupt your dancing. Oh Lord, that is why I did not inform you of this bad news, for I was dreading the calamity of disturbing your ecstasy. Lord, if you will kindly grant us permission now, then we shall take the boy's body away and perform the proper funeral rites." Hearing this much from Srivas Pandit, the jewel of the twice born, Lord Gaura Sundar then broke down and began to weep piteously on the spot. Crying and crying, the Lord thought to himself, "How could I possibly abandon such loving servitors and go elsewhere by taking sannyas? If I were to do so, my heart would certainly split." Hearing this type of talk, Bhaktivinoda's mind has become somewhat apprehensive. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is a grihastha in these early pastimes, but here he seems to hint to it a time when he will take sannyas. Thinks, I love these devotees so much. What if I were to take sannyas? Because sannyas would cause a separation. Song 7. The manifestation of various absolute truths from the mouth of the dead boy. So now we're going to hear a scene which is very similar to the 6th canto where Chitraketu's son dies, and by the request of Narada, the dead boy lying there suddenly sits up and the soul within him speaks. So this is a similar thing that happened. Then the Lord ordered the household members to bring the boy's body out into the courtyard, and they immediately complied. The merciful Lord Gaura, who removes the contaminating influence of the age of Kali, then addressed the boy, "Please tell me, dear boy, whatever prompted you to leave here so suddenly, thus giving up your loving father, Srivas Pandit." When I first read this, I felt that it was like tearing away the curtain between life and death. Thank you. Usually, we the living never cross over to know what happens after death. People speculate about it, or even if we read in scriptures, people may claim that it's in scriptures, but no one can actually experience it. But this story it tears the curtain away, and the living understand what happens after death, and the great fear of it as being unknown and as being the greatest calamity is also removed. Death is just part of life, and life is greater than death, and life is in Krishna. Being thus questioned by the Lord, the soul again manifested in the dead body by the mercy of the Lord, and he began to offer very nice prayers which were meant to be instructive to all persons. The dead boy said, "My dear Lord, you are without a doubt the supreme absolute truth, unlimited, and one without a second. Since you are the supremely energetic, all of your transcendental energies are certainly none different from you. Your transcendental potency manifests in three different ways, and it assists in the performance of your eternal pastimes in different ways, according to your sweet will. The original form of the cognizant potency called Chit-Shakti is manifesting your eternal pastimes in the spiritual world, and just for your delight, it becomes the pleasure-giving potency known as Ladini. Secondly, becoming the Jiva-Shakti, the potency produces multitudes of fine, conscious particles which make up the glowing effulgence of your transcendental body. All of these souls are thus manifest with a natural, marginal characteristic of minute independence. Thirdly, becoming the Maya Shakti, the potency creates innumerable material universes, and within them she captures and binds all the souls who choose to remain averse to you, my dear Lord." Hearing these prayers offered to Lord Chaitanya by the dead boy, Bhakti Vinod says at this point that he himself has become averse to the Lord due to his offenses and has been swallowed up by Maya in the material world. He's making a confession of his feeling fallen. It's as if these prayers are, and the moment of such a thing happening, the soul speaking after death, has produced such an impression on Bhaktivinoda Thakur that now he just feels his own inadequacy, his lack of full surrender to Krishna. We may think that we're doing all right in Krishna consciousness, and then it can be revealed to us like that, that we're not at all up to the mark. Song 8. The bound soul takes different types of births according to its different fruitive reactions. The dead son continued, "You, dear Lord, are completely full of transcendental bliss. I am simply a tiny conscious particle of you. Therefore, by nature, I am your eternal servant. Only you are supremely independent, whereas I am totally dependent on you. Neglecting your lotus feet, I have now become completely ruined. As soon as I chose to be independent of your lordship, my mind became interested in Maya's allurements. Thus I have given up my inherent spiritual nature. Falling down due to the dazzling bewilderment of fruitive gain, I have been captured by Maya within this mundane world. Now as a result, I am being forcibly tossed about on the revolving wheel of fruitive actions and reactions. Thus I am bound up by Maya in this world, according to your will, being firmly clenched in the iron-like grip of my predestined fate. And according to this fate, I have been brought into Srivas's home to appear as his son by taking birth in the womb of his wife, Malini. But again, according to my predestined fate, I must now leave this place. I cannot remain here any longer, even if I wanted to. Your desire is most powerful, dear Lord, whereas my desire is most feeble, for I am simply an insignificant fallen soul." So that's what death is. We have to go. As Prabhupada would say, you cannot stay another moment. Get out, the death says. No matter how rich you are or whatever. So it was an illusion while we were living that things were in our control, we were enjoying, we had money, whatever it was. The illusion is that it has to end, and then we have to go immediately and leave it all behind. "Wherever you send me next, O Lord, I must certainly go to become someone's son or husband or father. However, I know that all these material relationships do not possess even one speck of eternal truth, for only you are the eternal friend and guardian of all souls. One who has realized his position, at least, Krishna Nityadas, when he has to go, he won't resist, he won't lament, I'm dying, I have to leave, because he'll understand, I'm just a servant, I have to go now. The higher authority, Krishna, has decided that I must leave now. So he'll go peacefully and willingly, what has to be done by him anyway. We all should exit this body and this life and that spirit under the higher order, as a tiny living being who must behave in that way. You'd have to go anyway, but if you drag and lament, then it's all suffering. Wherever you send me next, I must certainly go to become someone else's son or husband or father, O Lord. However, I know that all these material relationships do not possess even one speck of eternal truth, for only you are the eternal friend and guardian of all souls. One who foolishly neglects the eternal shelter of your two lotus feet considers the union and separation of all these temporary family relationships to be happiness and distress. This just shows how much one has become absorbed in the bodily concept of life, being bound up in the womb of illusion. So this is a unique voice, a unique time in which to speak, that one life, like a play, it's like a drama. So one role has finished and now he's going on to another one. He can see these things are just a temporary thing. The real thing is my relationship with the Master who's sending me to one life after another. And the real thing to inquire is, what is this changing lives and changing roles and being so attached to them and then they finish? This is not my life each time. My real life I don't really know much about, but it has to do with my relationship with you who's moving me through one thing after another. So I want that and not this mad attachment in another life and another life. So he's prepared not to take, if he has to go to another life, he's prepared not to be in such maya as to think this is the whole thing. I was an American, now I'm a Russian, I was a man, now I'm a woman, and take on all these passions and ignorance. But I will remember that actually I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, and these other things, I may do them according to karma, but that's not the reality. Hearing all these truths about the fate of the conditioned soul has now made Bhaktivinoda become extremely frightened. Song 9. Birth in the house of a devotee only by dint of one's great fortune. The dead boy continued, thus I have been captured and bound by Maya. Due to being tied tightly by her ropes of ignorance and bewilderment, I have undergone many, many births since that time. Simply wandering here and there in the ghastly darkness of Maya's illusions. Sometimes I become a demigod, sometimes a demon. Sometimes I get the body of a man, an animal, a bird, or an insect. Of course, the atheistic temperament will say, well, there's only one life, we don't know about these past lives. These are stories. I don't remember them. I don't remember any lives. But Prabhupada has made it quite clear that this not remembering by us is a normal, limited condition. It doesn't disprove transmigration, that we don't remember past lives. But through authoritative literature and persons who have this experience beyond the one lifetime, we can understand what actually does happen to us. So our ignorance about it is not, there's nothing here, either here or there. Sometimes I wander up to heaven, sometimes down to hell, and sometimes here on earth, being carried away the whole time by innumerable materialistic hopes and aspirations. I have no idea what kind of pious credit I must have earned to be born as the son of Srivas Pandit within the holy abode of Navadvip in this life. Thus I myself am amazed that I have had the great fortune of actually being able to see and touch your lotus feet, O Lord. Usually, whenever I have to die, I experience great pain and distress upon leaving the particular body I happen to be in. But this time, I am only experiencing great happiness by discussing all these topics related to your glories. However, my time is now up, so I must take your leave. You get a sense of this is of the force that's behind when you have to go. You can't stay even to talk some more philosophy. My time is up, I must take your leave. If it is your desire that I should take another birth, O Lord, I humbly request your Lordship to kindly allow me to always be situated in the transcendental loving service of your divine feet. This is another version of this prayer that is made repeatedly by devotees in the Srimad Bhagavatam, humbly feeling that they probably will have to take another janma, but praying that they not forget Krishna. Ichaya tor janama jadi abara hoy hari charane taba prema bhakati take minati kori. Saying this, the boy then fell silent. Seeing this wonderful pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srivas Pandit's whole family gave up all their lamentation and were overwhelmed with great happiness. So what I was saying about the curtain being torn away, it was torn away for all of them. They said, this is death. We were lamenting, we didn't know what it was, and we thought he was dead and he was gone. But now we understand what we've always heard in the scriptures. And not only that, but in his case, he's happy. And he's going on to an even better next life. And Krishna is actually in control of all these things. And this has never been seen by people, what we have just seen. So they're completely enlightened in transcendental happiness. Thus the transcendental character and activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are just like a continuous shower of ambrosia. Bhaktivinoda is thereby losing his life force, begging Srivas Thakur to allow him to drink more of this nectarian ambrosia. 10. The Lord praises his devotees. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to speak with very sweet words. My dear Srivas, you are actually my eternal servant. Indeed, I am staying in this world only due to your affection for me. You, Srivas Pandit, are the commander-in-chief of all my devotees. Who is Srivas Pandit in his swarup? Narada. Narada Muni. So Narada was involved in that Chitraketu pastime too. Today your glorious character will be acclaimed throughout the three worlds. You are never subject to the bondage of Maya Devi, the proprietress of this prison-like material world. All the people of the world are witness to this fact. You have dedicated unto me all of your wealth, followers, body, and household paraphernalia, and thus you have become most joyful by being so nicely situated in my eternal service. The whole of your existence in this world is only for the purpose of facilitating my pastimes. Thus your exemplary behavior as a transcendental family man is ideal for instructing all the materialistic householders. In the Panchatattva, in the brief definition of each personality, Srivas is called the perfect devotee. There's the Lord, is the incarnation of a devotee. And then there's Nityananda, expansion, Advaita. What is he called? Incarnation. And Gadadhar is the energy of the Lord, and the which means the internal energy. And Srivas is called the perfect devotee, and that actually is Narada. Thus your exemplary behavior as a transcendental family man is ideal for instructing all materialistic householders. Sri Nityananda Prabhu and I are helplessly bound to your pure love for us. We know that you enjoy great happiness by considering us to be your very own sons. We are truly your eternal sons, for we see that you are not attached to any of your temporary sons, who are all subject to the material conditions of creation and destruction. Because of your pure devotion, I am eternally indebted to you, and because of your saintly character, you are also quite deserving of my indebtedness. Hearing these loving words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this rascal, Bhaktivinoda, now begs at the feet of Srivas Thakur in humble supplication to receive the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga. Psalm 11. Remembrance of the Lord is actual wealth, and forgetfulness of him is actual calamity. Seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu show such favorable grace to Srivas Pandit, all the devotees present there began to dance ecstatically while repeatedly shouting, Jai Sri Chaitanya! Jai Nityananda! With resounding voices. It is simply not possible to describe the ecstatic mood that arose in Srivas's house at that time. It was just like a great battle of transcendental emotions taking place between joyful bliss and mournful crying, all arising due to ecstatic love for Krishna. Then the four brothers of the dead boy came over and fell down at Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, weeping and wailing with piteous voices choked with ecstatic love. They began rolling on the ground, overflowing with pure love, while humbly petitioning the Lord as follows. Oh, hey, Praneshwar, eh, heno, bipada, pratidina, jeno, hoy, jahate tomar, charna jugale, ashakti badita roy. They said, O Lord of our lives, if calamities like this would happen every day, then that would only increase our deep loving attachment to your lotus feet. This calamity of losing our brother today is actually our great fortune, for on this day we are remembering your lordship. If on some other day we are bereft of your remembrance, then that day is actually the real calamity for us, O Lord. Falling down at the feet of Srivas Pandit's entire family, Bhaktivinoda thus narrates how their Lord, Gaur Sundara, is bestowing his causeless mercy upon all distressed souls. 12. And that was a very heavy point there. If we pass what we think is a nice day in different ways, there were some advantages to the day, no material problems. But when we say, well, did you remember Krishna today? No, I wasn't very good for that. And then it was a horrible day in terms of your destiny and your goal of life. But if you thought of Krishna, that's the only criteria of the success, even if it was materially troublesome. Psalm 12. Sri Gaura Hari performs the funeral ceremony along with his associates. Lord Chaitanya, who was so affectionate to his own devotees, then took the dead boy and along with all the devotees began to chant the most auspicious sound vibration of the holy names. Thus singing and singing, they all arrived on the bank of the Janavi, the Ganges. Then they performed the funeral rites with some water from that holy river. The personified Ganga Mayi, Sri Janavi Devi, said to herself, such unlimited auspicious fortune has become mine today. Now I have achieved the fruits of all my vows and penances. When Lord Chaitanya personally put the boy's body into the river, Janavi Devi picked up the body and held it. Bringing the dead boy out of the water, she touched the lotus feet of Lord Gaura. Still holding the body, she began to tremble in ecstatic love for the Lord. Seeing such an ecstatic mood being exhibited by Sri Janavi Devi, all the assembled devotees immediately began chanting the auspicious holy names incessantly. From the heavens, the demigods began to shower flowers. They crowded in the sky with their innumerable aeroplanes, almost blocking out the sunlight. In this way, everyone present was absorbed in various ecstasies. After performing the funeral rites, they all bathed in the river together. Everyone then returned to their respective homes in great happiness, and Bhaktivinoda is now completely immersed in the transcendental ecstasies of Lord Gaura Sundara. And the last song is the prayer unto the hearers of this story. Nadiya Nagare Gaura Charita Amrita Piya Shoka Bhoy Chado Stira Koro Chitta. The activities performed by Lord Chaitanya Gaura Sundara within the town of Nadiya are just like sweet ambrosial nectar. By drinking this nectar, just give up all of your material lamentations and fears and make your heart become thus fixed up. So in a general way, we're haunted by death, not that our son immediately died during a kirtan, but that's always there, this death, fear of death, and all the kinds of material anxieties connected to that. And so he's saying, instead of being diverted and crying about those things, come to the kirtan that you can take part in and forget those things, particularly hear about the Gaura Lila, the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, which are not different than the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And don't be lamenting with your fears. We can do one or the other. This material world is impermanent, my friends. The only substantial essence of absolute truth is Lord Krishna. Therefore, just worship Krishna incessantly according to the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Whoever understands this and firmly grabs hold of Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet is most fortunate. And if he worships Sri Radhakrishna in Braja, then I will accept him as my very life and soul. Dear Lordship, Sri Radhakrishna are none other than Lord Gaurachandra, And Sri Navadvip Dham is that very same Vrindavan Dham. If you consider this to be the most essential truth, then you will receive some eternal treasures. I am completely devoid of any real knowledge or good intelligence. Indeed, I am most lowly, insignificant, and contemptible. I am also lacking the slightest trace of pious karma or proper philosophical understanding. I am completely bereft of any virtuous behavior. All the assembled Vaishnavas, whom I consider to be my spiritual masters, have given me this title of Bhakti Vinod. But because I am totally devoid of any trace of devotion, this title has simply become like a painful disease for me. Taking great care to check the spreading of this disease, I have sought refuge at the lotus feet of all the Vaishnavas. Accepting the dust of the Vaishnavas' lotus feet upon my head, the lowly Bhakti Vinod sings this story called Shoka Shatana, the dispelling of grief. Hare Krishna. It's like Bhakti Vinod is such a close friend of ours, the way he expresses himself. And he's a teacher, of course, but he teaches in such a charming way. We don't always notice that we're being taught, either by telling some very absorbing story or by his attractive humility and his songs. He's a very wonderful predecessor guru. So maybe there's some things you want to discuss, right?
I was marveling at how, and we understand that the different associates, Lord Chaitanya, they have their place in Krishna Leela, and they're coming in seemingly ordinary family life. Somebody's a brother and sisters and husbands and wives, but you know they have different identities, different male, female, things like that. So it's interesting to understand how the separation fits in, if they're actually playing, you know, how much they're cognizant of their original identity and how much for, you know, they believe they're absorbed in this reality.
Well, these things happen by yoga maya, and even Lord himself, we know that when he becomes the child of Yasoda, for example, he completely plays that role and thinks that way and enjoys thoroughly the rasa of that comes exchanging with his mother. So if he does that, then certainly they do it also. If they're in Krishna Leela or if they're in Chaitanya Leela. In other words, they're capable of understanding I'm in this leela or that leela, but the main thing is the rasa. Some doubtful person was associating. Actually, it was a woman whose husband was a devotee. She wasn't becoming a devotee, so she was skeptical. She wrote me a letter and said, "I'm trying to understand the philosophy and reading about Lord Chaitanya. I can't understand why Krishna couldn't understand." Why he wanted to become Lord Chaitanya, why couldn't he understand his own sweetness? So she had turned the whole thing into like a kind of material situation of God trying to understand himself, and he was incapable, so he had to take another form. So I explained, it doesn't suggest any incapability of God, but in order to taste his sweetness, He desired to take this form of Lord Chaitanya to increase his pleasure and for other reasons to give us mercy. So the Lord's pastimes, they have no other explanation really than that they're his pleasure pastimes. And when he does them, he has expansions. So when he wants to be Krishna, they're with him in that way in different roles. And when he wants to be Lord Chaitanya, they get thoroughly involved in those roles. And their being able to know what they were before or remembering is sort of is in the back. They're just enjoying the rasa. Sometimes it's brought out. They hear we're reading about Srivas in the Chaitanya Charitamrita when Srivas begins glorifying the opulence of the Lord, Lord Krishna, rather than his Vrindavan mood. And Lord Chaitanya laughs and says, oh, Srivas, he's intoxicated by the opulence of the Lord. He's in the mood of Narada Muni. So it's like he's reminding him of his other identity.